Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to Exodus 33 in our Bibles right quick. And we started out this morning talking about the presence of God. Exodus chapter 33. I'm just going to skip around and you can just read along with me. And we're going to be reading about Moses' experience with God. It is just an awesome thing to see how God spoke with Moses and how he interacted with Moses. Exodus 33, and let's begin reading at verse 17. Exodus 33 and verse 17. God's presence is just awesome.
Yes.
And there are times when his presence is so strong. And I know that not only am I experiencing his presence, but people around me are experiencing his presence too. You ever sensed that or felt that? Amen. Awesome, just an awesome, awesome God. Exodus 33 and verse 17. Again, this is Moses. Verse 17, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by what?
Name.
By name. And he said, I beseech ye," this is Moses saying. Moses says what? Show me your glory.
Amen.
Good God. Woo-wee. Show me your glory.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Now, for us to really fully understand the impact of what Moses is asking, we have to understand what Moses has already seen up to this point. He's already seen 10 plagues on Egypt. He's already seen the Red Sea divided and parted. He's already seen water come from a rock. And instead of Moses asking for more miracles, he asked God, just give me just a little bit more of you. God Almighty.
Amen.
Woo-wee. Woo.
Yes.
What would happen in your relationships if your spouse or significant other said, I just want more of you? Huh? Good God Almighty. So Moses says, God, I just want more of you. Show me your glory. Up to this point, God had been hiding himself behind clouds and thunders and lightning. Because God says, no man can look upon my face and live. But Moses says, nevertheless, God, show me something. Can you just pull back the cloud just for a moment and just let me get a peek at what you really look like?
Yeah.
My God, my God. Whew. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you.
There you go.
And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious.
Yes,
and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So he says to Moses, okay, you talked me into it. And he says, I'm going to pass by you, Moses, but I'm going to hide you in a rock. Good God Almighty. And he says, when I pass by you, I'll remove my hand just for a second so that you can see my backside. But you can't see my face. So let's pick it up. Verse number 5, chapter 34. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there, Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, what does God say about himself? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness. Woo, good God Almighty. Woo! He doesn't say, I'm punisher in chief. He doesn't say, I'm going to get you for all your sins, doesn't he? He says, the Lord, what? Merciful and what? Gracious. Whew. Oh, my God. Keeping mercy, verse 7, for thousands, forgiving iniquity, thank you, Jesus, and transgression and sin, thank you, Lord, that will by no means clear the guilty. That means we got to take it seriously. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children and upon the children's children and to the third and the fourth generation. And what does Moses do? And Moses made haste and did what? Woo! Good God Almighty. He doesn't walk up to God and say, hey, I'm Moses. I just led them all out of Egypt. How you doing? No. Moses says, this is the God of creation. Respect and reverence. So Moses makes haste and he bows his head to the ground. But don't you find something strange about the Bible? I wondered this. Moses never writes about what he saw.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He never describes what he saw. Why do you think that is? No words. He gave Moses and Moses alone the privilege of seeing his back. But you know what? Moses is not the only one that God wants to show his back.
Right.
He wants you to see it, and you to see it, and me to see it. But we got to do what Moses did. And the Bible holds the key because the Bible says that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. How humble are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, I ain't humble at all, and I don't care, I brag about it, and 10 being, I'm as humble as I know how to be. We finna find out. Everybody get a partner. And a pen. Uh-huh, didn't expect this, didn't you? Uh-huh. Now, we have a few questions on that. Now, if you're here with your spouse or your wife, I want you two to kind of join up. If you don't have a spouse or a wife, just get you a partner or someone to work with. Okay? So we need sets of twos. And we're going to answer a few questions. Now, I want you to answer the questions about your partner. I want you to have your partner in mind. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're supposed to have two. I'm sorry. I think two. Well, one per person. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I sure did, didn't I? I'm sorry. So we need one per person. Now.
One per person.
Yes. One sheet per person. Because what I want is I want each person to fill out and answer the questions about the other person. And now here are the rules. We cannot argue. No arguing. You cannot say, no, I don't, or yes, I do, or I do that, or no, I don't. Because what we're practicing on is humility. And what that means is we might see ourselves one way, right? But another person may see us in a totally different frame of life. All right? So, everybody got a partner? Or if you don't have a partner, you can do it for someone who's at home. If your spouse didn't come tonight, you can do one for your spouse. And then take one home and let her do it on you, okay? All right? All right. Or if you have a brother or a sister, maybe you don't have a spouse, but you have a brother or a sister, you can do one for them, okay? All right. So what are we practicing on? Humility. Next rule, no erasing. All right, now, the first question, put your name at first. I'm the one who's rating, and then put the name of the person that you're rating, that you are writing about, okay? All right. Now, the first question says what? Let's read it out loud. What does it say?
Do we have to?
Yeah. Do we have to? Okay. You ready? 1, 2, 3, read. Oh, wow. So you want to mark it about your partner. Is it none of the time, some of the time, or all the time? My wife and I are the world's worst. Like I said, pray for us. Because sometimes we're in the bed and we're talking and we're both trying to get the last word in, and then I'll get smart and I'll say, do, 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 do. Then I'll turn on. And she'll say, don't. Oh, Lord. But you have to be humble. And what does that mean? That means letting other people have the last word. Because sometimes it's better to have peace than to be right. That's true. Sometimes it's better to have peace in your house than to be right. Amen. So everybody got their answer down for number one about your partner? Okay, Pastor Anthony, so we're on question number one. So both of you write your names down because you are grading. And write down the name of the other person that you are grading. And the first question says, does your partner have to have the last word whenever an argument is going? And you have to mark some of the time, all of the time, or none of the time. All right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, y'all grading each other. All right. Now, question number two says what? Let's read it. What does it say? Oh, when I share my difficult days, he or she listens closely. You have to answer that. Is that none of the time, some of the time, or all the time? A little while back, I came home, and I spent all day having to think. So, but when I come home, I want some peace and what?
Quiet.
So I come home, and my wife starts sharing this stuff that, quite frankly, I don't think is very important. And so I'm not listening real close, right? And she's talking and talking and talking, and she gets to the end of it, and she says, if this happened and that happened, this happened and that happened, and I'm listening, and I'm pulling off my jacket and everything, and when she gets done, I turn and casually look at her and say, and life goes on. But you have to know my wife to know her reaction. She goes, now, Charlie, that was not a very nice thing to say. And then she goes into it all over again. If this happens, then that happens, and this happens, then that happens. And then she says, and then life goes on. And then she turns and walks away. And of course, a few minutes later, I have to go out to her and say, I'm sorry. And she gives me a big hug, and we both make up. But do you really listen? Does your partner really listen? Next question is what? Read together. What does it say?
When
Uh-oh. Do they do it sometimes? Do they apologize sometimes? Do they apologize no times? None of the time? Or do they apologize all of the time? So, remember, we're talking about what? Humility. And all of these things let us know how humble we really are, right? Amen. 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 So, I've gotten so good at it now, though. It's like, you know, before I even do something wrong, I just say, I'm sorry. Because it's like years ago, both of us, my wife and I, could go to bed angry at one another. We could do that years ago. But God has matured us both enough that we know that we can't do that now. So even if it takes half of the night being up and talking and talking and finally coming to some agreement, but something must happen before we go to sleep. Okay? So she's gotten good at it. I've gotten good at it. So now when she does something bad or I do something bad, we both know to come apologize. Okay? All right. Next question says what? Okay, how often does your spouse or the person that you're rating spend with God? How much time do they spend with God? Is it no time except on Wednesdays and Sundays? Or is it, do they spend time with God every other day or so? I think I got down like 3 days a week. That's sometimes. Or do they spend time with God most or all of the time? Got it down? All right, next question says what? Uh-oh, here's a big one. He or she looks forward to coming to church. Now, does the person that you're rating really look forward to coming to church, or are they like the Dunkin' Donuts man? That's what we talked about this morning, right? The Dunkin' Donuts man says, time to make the donut. Are they like, time to go to church? Or do they like, are they like, we're going out to the house of the Lord today? Are they like David who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go out to the house of the Lord? Do they look forward to praise and worship? Do they look forward to the word of God? Do they look forward to worshiping and praying and praising God's name? You know the answer. You know them best. Next question. Does he or she, the person that you're rating, seem to enjoy worship? You know, do they kind of sit there and look like they got a mouth full of onions while worship is going on? Or are they into praise and worship? Are they expressing their love and their adoration for God? Are they praying? Are they meditating? What are they doing? Are they spectating? You know the answer. Now, is that everything? Is that all the questions? I think that was the last one, right? All right, now. Talk to your partner or to the person that you're rating. If they're here, talk to them and share with them what you wrote about them. So y'all share each other what y'all wrote with each other. Now, let the women go first. You got 3 minutes and your time starts now. Minute and a half. One minute. Thirty seconds. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. All right. Now, how many of you received an answer from your partner that you don't totally agree with? Like, anybody? Nobody? Everybody agree with it, with everything you? Wow. Scared to say. Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay. How many of you have some room for improvement? Let me put it like that. Amen. 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 I think we all have some room for improvement somewhere. Somewhere, somehow. And in order for us to come into the presence of God, He wants us to improve. So now you know the areas that you need to work on, right? Yes. That's what we've been talking about tonight. So God's going to trust you to work on those areas, all right? Now, what I want to do now is talk very, very briefly about prayer, because we're talking about coming into the presence of God. Now, prayer is a two-way conversation. It's where we talk with God, and it's where God talks with us. And in order for God to speak to us, in order for us to hear Him clearly, we have to work on what the Bible calls spiritual ears. Well, what is spiritual ears? Spiritual ears is basically sitting still and listening for the voice of God. And sometimes He may not speak in a voice. Sometimes He may speak in a dream or a vision or sometimes even a thought. But the point is, we have to be quiet and still ourselves and be still and listen. For 1 minute, we're going to practice this tonight. For 1 minute. We're going to practice this for 1 minute. Now, what we're going to do during that minute is I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pretend that you are sitting in the presence of God. And I want you to constantly say to yourself, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening." Time starts now. Seconds. Three, two, one. Okay. Wow. Wow. Did anybody hear anything? Or did God bring anything to anybody's mind? Or, you know, those are some of the times, the most beautiful times that I have is when I just sit and listen. Be quiet. Be still. You'll be amazed what God will speak and say or remind us of. We don't have enough quiet time in our world today. Things are blaring. People are talking. Things are going on. But God wants us to be still and be quiet. Okay, last thing. Number 8 again. We talked about the importance of worship, right? And how worship attracts God. Imagine, if you would, you have children or family or people that you love, and they all gather around you and they begin to tell you how good you are, how wonderful you are, how much they love you, and how much you've done for them, and how much they appreciate you. Would you not want to be in the midst of them? That's what worship is to God. It's when we are expressing ourselves to Him and we're saying to Him, "You're wonderful, God. You're glorious, God. You kept me through danger seen and unseen. You're faithful, God." That's what worship should be. And that's why God is attracted to worship. So can we play song number 8? Yeah. Let's try it again. So let's worship. Yes, Lord. And Omega. Thank you, Jesus.
We worship you, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You are worthy to be praised.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you our.
Yes, Lord.
The glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We give you
all the glory. Yes, Lord.
We worship you, my Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
We worship you, my Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We give you all the glory. We worship you, my Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Yes, yes. Get them all.
The glory.
Yes, Father.
We worship you, my Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Thank you.
We give you all the glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Something this morning.